Hello and welcome to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Circle Podiatry.
And my name is Jonathan Brocklehurst. It's our aim to raise your awareness of just how important your feet are, to give you the solutions to your foot and leg problems, and to teach you how to prevent future issues.
So grab a cuppa, relax, sit back and put your feet up and enjoy learning about the one part of your body that often gets forgotten. That's right, it's your feet.
Thank you for listening to the Foot Health Show on UK Health Radio. My name is Jonathan Brocklehurst, and today we will be exploring a topic that shows us just how important our feet are. This show is all about the significance of our foot health in our everyday lives, the decisions we make, and the information we read and listen to relating to our foot health can be a beacon to others. And that is why the Foot Health Show exists, to inform you of inspiring and innovative ways to address our feet and mobility in the current world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
We are grateful for the support the show receives from across the world. And if you're interested and feel this show matches your vision for shedding light on the importance of our foot health in enhancing our lives and preventing limb loss across the globe, please refer to the UK Health Radio website with details on sponsorship and donations. That was a lovely piece of music. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And now we're about to go into our interview with our very special guest today. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Foot Health Show on UK Health Radio. And to be in touch with us, please do go and visit the UK Health Radio website, where you can find all content here from the Foot Health Show. So without any further ado, here's our interview with our very special guest. My very special guest today is Dr. Robert Gabay, who is the Chief Scientific and Medical Officer for the American Diabetes Association, or the ADA, which is the global authority on diabetes. Dr. Gabay leads the ADA's efforts to drive discovery within the world of diabetes research, care, and prevention. Previously, Dr. Gabay served as the Chief Medical Officer and Senior Vice President at Joslin Diabetes Center and Associate Professor at Harvard Medical School. At Joslin, he oversaw the clinical care for over 25,000 patients, as well as the education and care programs Joslin delivers nationally and internationally. His research focused on innovative models of diabetes care to improve, to enhance diabetes outcomes and improve the lives of people with diabetes. To meet these goals, he has traversed many arenas, including an initial career as a basic scientist researcher to development of better patient communication tools, creating the first broad-scale diabetes registry, designing and implementing a care management training program, leading Pennsylvania's statewide implementation of the patient-centered medical home, and defining the medical neighborhood and the role of centers of excellence in diabetes, and envisaging the digital health as the latest member of the diabetes team. Dr. Gabay has received funding from the National Institute of Health Diabetes, Digestive and Kidneys Diseases, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation for his care transformation work. The reach of his work has been recognized through leadership roles in national and international activities to transform diabetes care. Dr. Gabay has served as a visiting professor, keynote speaker, and organizing committees for global meetings of the ADA, International Diabetes Federation, Endocrine Society, and the Diabetes Technology Society. Along with an extensive peer-reviewed publication record, his views have appeared in popular press such as the New York Times, CNN, Oprah, the Washington Post, and NPR. Dr. Gabay completed his BSc degree at McGill University and his PhD in biochemistry from the University of Wisconsin, where he published on mechanisms of insulin signaling. He then went on to get his medical degree from the State University of New York at Brooklyn School of Medicine, with a residency in internal medicine at New York Hospital Cornell and fellowship in endocrinology, diabetes and metabolism at a joint Joslin Beth Israel Deaconess Brigham and Women's Hospital program at Harvard. Dr. Gabay was a visiting scientist at MIT and a professor of medicine at Pennsylvania State University College of Medicine and founding director of the Penn State Institute of Diabetes and Obesity before his tenure at Joslin. It's with great pleasure that I can announce our interview to come in the next few moments. So welcome, Dr. Gabay. Thank you so much for your time this evening. Here in the UK, it's about 10 p.m. and I'm absolutely as enthusiastic as ever to be able to interview you. And I'd like to start off with just saying welcome and how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And it's wonderful to have a chance to speak with you and the audience, Jonathan. So thanks for the opportunity.
Fantastic. And our listeners today from across the globe will be aware of the American Diabetes Association. However, I wanted to really delve into our first question, which is, what is the American Diabetes Association and what is its role?
Well, our focus really is increasingly global, and it is dealing with the diabetes epidemic. And so we do that through care and research, advocacy, and engaging with the community. in a variety of different ways.
Fantastic. And as Chief Scientific Officer for the American Diabetes Association, what are some of the things that your particular role involves?
Well, you know, I have this wonderful diverse set of activities that I'm involved in. So as an example, we fund a considerable amount of research to help people with diabetes and so oversee those activities. We also do a number of programs to educate and empower both people with diabetes and the healthcare team that's involved in ensuring that they do well. And so we create the standards of care, which are really sort of the Bible, so to speak, of guidelines on the management of diabetes that are recognized globally. And so I have the opportunity to oversee that and work across the organization in a variety of different ways with our on advocacy efforts to ensure access for what we know are good treatments for people, but they don't always have access to the right treatments, the right food, all of that kind of work. So it's a dream job for me.
Fantastic. It sounds like a tremendous responsibility and an amazing role. And I wanted to just bring forward to light, actually, our next question, which is, what's been your journey to getting to where you are today?
Well, let's see. I'll try to capsulize that in a short period of time. I started really from the very micro and molecular side of things. And so initially got my doctorate in biochemistry and was studying the molecular ways in which insulin has its effect. And that journey then moved to ultimately try to find ways to have greater and greater impact. So I started by then becoming a physician and caring for people with diabetes, and then thinking about the kind of research that could be done clinically to improve outcomes, testing new treatments, technologies, et cetera. Then evolved to thinking about how can the systems of care be better to ensure that the right thing happens every time for people with diabetes, because there are some significant gaps. And as I've moved into other leadership roles, most recently at the Joslin Diabetes Center, where I led that effort there. And they're a Harvard Medical School first diabetes center in the world and largest diabetes and care center in the world, to where I am now, which, as I said, is the dream job, because I'm very much driven by impact. And that journey that I described was really finding ways and seizing opportunities that allowed me to be in roles where I could have greater and greater impact. And the American Diabetes Association and all the work that we do does so much for so many people, and very proud of the privilege to have the opportunity to do that.
That's a fantastic story. And I think it's also inspirational, because to want to go into a role where you can make that difference, to be part of an incredible organization that is actively making that difference. And like you said, funding as well for research is such an important part of being able to make those innovations and to further research what we've been doing in the world for actually addressing diabetes. Absolutely. And so it certainly inspired me. And also for new listeners to the Foot Health Show today, what is diabetes and how can it affect the foot specifically?
Sure. Well, diabetes is so fundamentally the body's main fuel is glucose, a type of sugar, and that, in fact, is what the brain almost exclusively uses, and in large part the heart as well, and a number of other organs. And what happens in diabetes is that glucose level, that fuel, is very tightly regulated in a narrow range. And what happens for people with diabetes is that their blood glucose levels go high, and that fuel is in some ways not as available to all the organs where it normally needs to feed. And the consequence of those high blood glucoses over time can be damaged to a number of different organs. And so, as an example, diabetes is the leading cause now, a leading cause of blindness, kidney failure, amputations that we'll talk more about, heart disease, stroke. So maintaining those glucose levels in the right range is critically important for good health.
Absolutely. And coming on to the foot as well, as a podiatrist myself and having worked as a diabetes specialist, a podiatrist in the NHS during the pandemic, I definitely saw quite a few patients who were experiencing this, particularly from the beginning of the pandemic, coming towards into that second year, where they were, some weren't able to get the immediate care that they needed, particularly in the low to moderate risk categories. And going towards the high risk, it meant that everything seemed to shift up a level. So the low risk patients would become moderate risk, the incidence of callus formation would increase. And as a result, I was finding, and my colleagues were finding, that this was actually becoming a serious problem as a backlog for appointments, particularly when it came to diabetic foot ulcers. And I just wanted to get your take on that and the incidence of diabetic foot ulcers, I guess, particularly in America, but also across the globe. What's your take on that?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'll say, Jonathan, you know, experienced exactly the same thing that you describe, and have heard that from my colleagues. You know, early in the course of the pandemic, understandably and appropriately, people stayed home, were socially distancing, and that was the right thing to do. And there was that notion, if we think back a couple of years ago, that this wasn't going to last that long. And obviously, it's lasted a lot longer than any of us had really thought. And so that delay in care has had all sorts of consequences that we're now starting to catch up to. And foot foot problems are but one of those, but we see the same thing when it comes to eye care and kidney care, where that delay has led to advancing disease. And, you know, probably an important message for your listeners is there still are people that have not, you know, gotten back to their healthcare professionals to get the care that they need. And it's time now to really re-engage.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things particularly that I wanted to discuss, adding on to this, was the Amputation Prevention Alliance. Now, I know you touched on lower limb amputation rates globally, very much associated with diabetes. But this new alliance that's formed recently, I'd like to just get your take on that and how that can really make a difference.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. We are really excited about launching just last week this 3-year public health initiative to really deal with this, you know, terrible problem. And let me state what the problem is. So, you know, every 4 minutes, someone with diabetes loses a limb. Mm. And what we know is when somebody loses a limb, their trajectory after that is as bad as many cancers. So the 5-year mortality of someone that has lost a limb is 50%. So half the people die within 5 years after that first amputation. So, and then what makes this, you know, just like have to do something, is that as many as 85% of those amputations are preventable. Wow. And so that's where we're really putting our focus on how can we prevent those amputations in people. And we know a lot of what can be done. It's really a matter of making that happen. And so our strategy has been, you know, is really multi-pronged. First, ensuring access. And you know, here in the U.S., that's a big issue. But as I've just most recently was in Europe at the European diabetes meetings, this is really a global issue, in that there are groups of people that have good access, and then there are significant inequities where there are a number of individuals that don't have access. So, as an example, in the U.S., the risk of having an amputation is 3 times higher for people of color.
Wow.
And that just shouldn't be. So we have a multi-pronged approach that we can talk about that is really trying to address this terrible situation around the amputations.
Wow. I mean, 85% could be preventable. That is a staggering statistic. And actually, for those who are listening to the Foot Health Show today, listening in today, that statistic, I hope that really resonates and actually really actually brings out a sense of urgency for actually making a difference in the world. And actually, this brings me on nicely to say, what are some of the ways, and I know you mentioned the triple-pronged approach, some ways in which the American Diabetes Association in conjunction with the funding that you've mentioned as well, that's been very, very much at the forefront. What are some ways in conjunction with that are actually bringing about the importance globally of actually making sure we can try and prevent those preventative 85% statistics?
What we've, you know, first of all, this is all about partnership. You know, no one organization is going to do this by themselves. And so, you know, we've been excited to lead this effort and coalesce all of the sort of organizations together. And so it's an advocacy effort to advocate for access to the right treatments. And then it is a big awareness effort at two levels. One, for people with diabetes who don't necessarily know the connection between foot problems, diabetes, and amputation, the things that they can do themselves to have good foot health. And so all of that directed towards people with diabetes. And I will also say, when they are at that moment where somebody is saying to them, I'm sorry, we'll have to amputate, to get that second opinion. Because many of those cases, even at that late stage, limbs can be salvaged through new approaches that, for better or worse, not everybody knows about. And so it's making sure the people with diabetes know about it, but and their loved ones, but also the healthcare professionals. So because these treatments are newer and these advances are newer, many you know, primary care providers are not familiar with those options, or emergency department clinicians that are often the ones that are making the call, so to speak, to say, wow, this limb looks like it needs to be amputated. Getting that second opinion, understanding that there are other treatments. So it's advocacy, it's awareness for people with diabetes, and it's awareness and education for healthcare professionals.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that I certainly experienced, for example, in the pandemic is an obvious time, really, where, like you said, there was that real gap and divide between the accessibility of care for patients, but also the education part. Things like footwear, lifestyle choices, whether it's smoking cessation or if it's, you know, alcoholism, all of these different aspects of life, and trying to approach the patient holistically when sometimes we've got such a short space of time to actually to actually compute that or impart that information, it can be really tricky. So I was wondering if you had any advice to clinicians like myself and others who may be listening today about how we can best manage our time in those very, very short appointments where we can really bring that information to light to a patient who has diabetes and has perhaps a foot ulcer, or maybe is deemed to be high risk due to any comorbidities and callus neuropathy, for example, that they have?
That's a great question. And, you know, time is always a commodity for us as clinicians. I think one of the, we did this interesting project a little bit ago where we asked, it was actually with podiatrists, and we asked podiatrists, what do you tell your patients about foot care? And they went through, oh, I tell them all this stuff. And, you know, they said all the right things. And then we asked their patients, what do you know about foot problems and diabetes? And they didn't know very much. There are a variety of techniques that you can do to ensure that people hear what you're saying, because they may not always. And I don't dispute that these clinicians said all the right stuff, but it wasn't heard. And so one good technique that we have taught folks is to ask people that you're caring for, what do you know about the connection between diabetes and foot problems? And, you know, ask them lots of questions. And when they don't know the answer, that's an opportunity for you to give them that information. And people tend to absorb things much more effectively that way. We use it in healthcare training quite a lot. The junior people on the team are asked questions and they don't know the answer, and then you give them the answer and they're sure to remember that. So that's one way to make sure the information gets through to people. Mm-hmm. If I could share another sort of thing for clinicians.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the, this seems silly, but it often plays out as a barrier, particularly for my primary care colleagues and endocrinology colleagues. If we go into the room where we've got to move quickly and cover a lot of information, and if the person doesn't have their socks and shoes off, we're probably not going to take the extra time on occasion to have them do it and then examine their feet. And really examining the feet is the single most impactful intervention that could be done at the primary care level. And so ensuring that whoever rooms that patient, please take your socks and shoes off, mm-hmm. knock your socks off. Is really makes a difference. First of all, as a clinician, in case I forgot amongst the 50 things I want to ask about to talk about their feet, just seeing them barefoot is a great little cue, and it saves time. Now I can quickly look at their feet, make sure they have no ulcers, calluses. If it's time for their yearly check on whether the sensation is good and pulses, etc. That's really quick to do if the socks and shoes are on.
Yes, that's a really important bit of advice, I think, as well, because so often and sometimes, for example, you know, a patient may come in, say, you know, it's a delayed appointment, or they come in late and there's not much time left at that appointment. And of course, if they're traveling from quite long distances or rural remote communities, and it can seem almost like that a lot's against them already before they've even stepped into the appointment. So actually having that opportunity, even if it's for 5-10 minutes, just to get their shoes and socks off and actually have a look at the feet, you know, could make all the difference in terms of a preventative strategy, at least at the assessment level. And I think, you know, I definitely share your view on that, absolutely. Which takes me on quite nicely, actually, to when we have, you know, in our toolkit, effectively in clinic, you know, we've got the scalpel for callus, we've got dressings available for ulcers. But when it comes to the next steps, such as the use of technology, what are some ways in which we could, in the future, really best utilize that technology for the benefit of patients?
Interesting. There are a number of ways. So one on the on the prevention side, we know that having good blood glucose control can prevent the development of peripheral arterial disease and nerve damage, which are the leading reasons why people develop foot problems. And to help maintain good blood glucose levels, the availability now of continuous glucose monitors that measure glucose and allow people to see patterns, and they can check anytime they want without pricking their finger. That's been a huge, huge advance in the management of diabetes. On the foot side, there's really been a lot of work trying to predict who is at higher risk for ulcers, how to assess the instability in the foot. So one of the reasons why people can develop foot ulcers, is too much pressure at certain points. And that continued pressure on one area of the foot leads to a callus, and then over time that callus starts to break down and there can be bleeding. Then it gets exposed to the outside world, where bacteria gets in, get an infection, it can affect the bone, and that's one reason why some people get amputations. Mm-hmm. So that whole train can be stopped by understanding, while there's already an imbalance in the foot that is likely to lead to an ulcer someday, let's get the right kind of shoes to prevent that. And then one other area where technology has really revolutionized is what I talked about. When a person comes to the emergency department, they've got a bad ulcer, it might be infected, and the decision is we need to amputate. And the technology to revascularize the foot that is not getting sufficient blood flow, which is often the reason why these ulcers don't heal, has advanced incredibly. So it used to be only the large vessels of the leg could be vascularized. Now they can thread into tiny little vessels. Wow. And open them up. And that technology really is, I think, a big part of why many people, even at the latest of stages, don't necessarily need an amputation.
Wow, that's astounding. And it gives such hope as well for the future in healthcare and, in the prevention and in the treatment of management of diabetes. And you touched on footwear as well, about how that can have an effect. And I've said to listeners in previous shows that there can be three really sort of core parts of good footwear, effectively, that can prevent sort of decubitus ulcers or puncture wounds, for example, in that if they've got that deep and wide toe box and that secure midfoot fastening, such as Velcro or laces, and that sort of supportive yes. heel counter, then all of those elements can become a conglomerate of benefit to the patient in the long term. I wanted to get your thoughts on that and whether you think that's an effective way to explain that to patients.
Yes, sadly, poor fitting shoes are such an issue for leading to the kinds of problems we're talking about. The other piece of advice I give to people, to my patients, particularly those that have some disease, whether it's peripheral arterial disease or neuropathy, is don't go barefoot. So many of these things start from a minor injury that occurs going barefoot. And during the summer it's very tempting, but again, once these, and you've seen this, you know, once these ulcers form, it can take quite some time for them to heal. And everything you can do to prevent it by having good fitting shoes, by avoiding going barefoot, is just so worth it. I had a young woman that you know, was at the beach and went barefoot and had some neuropathy and didn't realize how hot the sand was, and really burned her feet pretty badly. And you know, again, these things happen, and so easy to prevent.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that you've mentioned that, because only a couple of days ago, I actually treated a patient who had just been back from holiday and had that exact encounter on the sand, particularly at a beach abroad. And I think that really does emphasize the point. And back to our listeners today, that if you have peripheral neuropathy, and it's just really, really important to gauge with the environment that you're in and to be wearing footwear, just like Dr. Sukabay has said today. And I think that's a really fitting way to conclude the interview today, is on the point that prevention is so vital in the battle against diabetes, and actually management of as well for type 1 and type 2 diabetes. So thank you so much, Dr. Gabay, for your time, your expertise, and for enlightening us today with the amazing work that the American Diabetes Association is doing.
Thank you so much. And people should feel free to go to our website at diabetes.org. To find out lots of information about what you can do to prevent foot problems and, most importantly, avoid amputations.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sand on toes, cold sand in sleeping bags. I come to know that memories were the best things you ever had. The summer shore, beat down on bony back. So far from home where the ocean stood, down dust and pine cone tracks. We slept like dogs down by the fireside, awoke to the fog where all around us the boom of summer tide. Yeah. We stood steady as the stars in the woods, so happy hearted, and the warmth rang true inside these bones. As the old pine fell, we sang. Just to bless the morning. Oh, hot sand on toes, cold sand in sleeping bags. I come to know the friends around you are all smoke in my lungs, or the echoed stone, careless and young, free as the birds that fly, with a weightless soul of numb. We stood steady as the stars in the woods, so happy hearted in the warmth. Rang true inside these bones. We stood as steady as the stars in the woods, so happy hearted in the warmth. Rang true inside these bones. As the old pine fell, we sang. Just to bless the morning.
We are grateful for the support the show receives from across the world. And if you're interested and feel this show matches your vision for shedding light on the importance of our foot health in enhancing our lives and preventing limb loss across the globe, please refer to the UK Health Radio website with details on sponsorship and donations.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
bottom, but you always saw the light, and now you're ready for your journey, one direction, reaching high. Keep the feeling of the spirit always present as you climb. One direction, one vibration, that's the message, let us try. Keep moving, yeah. Straight ahead, yeah. Keep the feeling of the spirit always present as you climb. One vibration, that's the message. You can make it if you try.
Thank you for listening to the Foot Health Show on UK Health Radio. My name is Jonathan Brocklehurst, and today we have been exploring a topic that shows us just how important our feet are. This show is all about the significance of our foot health in our everyday lives, and the decisions that we make and the information we read and listen to relating to our foot health can be a beacon to others. That is why the Foot Health Show exists, to inform you of inspiring and innovative ways to address our feet and mobility in the current world. I look forward to you listening in and tuning in again next time.
Well, that's all we've got time for this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Foot Health Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say, have a fantastic week. Keep safe, keep those legs and feet moving, and don't forget to tune in again with your friends next week.